going on, everybody? A very tough week this past week. And boys, before we get into all the negativity, I just want to say this is the Icy Takes podcast. All the best damn hockey and baseball you got to offer here. You ready to play What the Hell Am I Drinking?
Absolutely. Go for it.
All right. All right, because Jeff, you weren't here on the show at the beginning of last week, what I did was give very subtle hints.
Okay.
As to what it is. There's three guesses. There's three hints by me, which means three guesses. So one for each of you guys, so there's six. And I'm going to be very vague on this first one. Dark blue.
Dark blue. Okay. Judging by the sound of the can. You are drinking out of a can, yes?
Yes.
Okay, it sounded very hard. It was like a very hollow type sound on the can when you tapped it. Dark blue. Oh. Okay, I'll take hint number two. Or how's this work?
Just take a guess. Zach, you got something?
I'm gonna say Labatt.
Bingo.
That's what I was gonna say. I was gonna try and prolong it a little bit, but yeah.
See, I wanted to say dark blue for the can, and then I'm like, yeah, that's like an answer in the hint.
Yeah, but, exactly.
But reason I'm drinking Labatt Blue is because it's a Canadian beer, and I figured might as well drink a beer of winters, right, boys?
Absolutely. I was thinking about making poutine for dinner. Fries, gravy, some shredded pork. I'm absolutely celebrating. I refuse to eat anything American or Pittsburghese for the next couple weeks.
I mean, I really don't blame you. But before we get into all of that, we always love to recap our past weeks. Who wants to go first, Jeff or Zach?
Oh, can I go first?
Yes, you can, Mr. Chris.
Oh, man. So the past, about month we've been doing story time with Big Dave on his beer league softball stories and whatnot. This week I come to you guys with a men's league roller hockey story. So Zach, I'm sure you'll love one of these.
Oh, boy.
So me and my buddies playing a league on a Sunday night up in Murraysville, which for those who don't know, like the rink's literally like, if you're coming from Pittsburgh, if you follow the parkway, literally coming out of the city, it literally spits on 22, and you follow it for maybe another 10 minutes, and the rink's on the right-hand side behind the sheets. Been playing in this league probably since we've been about in college, early part of college. We always played in the summer, but now that everybody's all back home from school and everything, we all play year-round now. So we had a game. Yesterday we played a team full of kids that are either graduating high school or they're still in high school and they use it for, you know, like their off season training or whatever. Like Zach, you know the type of team I'm talking about.
Oh yeah. Right? Sounds like a bunch of tool bags already, but go on.
Yeah. So anyway, we have a game. So most of the kids actually were pretty cool, you know, whatever. But, you know, they're all wearing, like, a practice jersey or, like, something. The school they played for is Penn Trafford, which is where I went to school. And, it's, like, a generic, like, gold mesh, like, hockey jersey with, like, PT on it or Warriors hockey on it. Whatever. But there's this one kid who, and I'm not kidding you on this one, this kid couldn't have been more than 15 years old. That's how young this kid looked. And he comes out his first shift, and he goes, and he picks the puck up, and he starts pulling it back, skating up, doesn't like what he sees, turns back around, goes on another rush, and he gets, like, a no-nothing chance on net that, like, it wasn't close to being a goal or even a threatening scoring chance. So me, being the savvy 29-year-old that I am, I chirped this kid because he's also wearing like his travel hockey, like giddy up, like the Inferno giddy up jersey, pants, helmet. He's got the whole shindig going. So I go, hey, bud, you can pass the puck there. It's okay. You're allowed to give the puck up. So I guess his buddy didn't appreciate that too much. And he was a compared to everybody else on his team, the kid was the equivalent of Hal Gill. Very tall, couldn't skate well, not great puck skills either.
What a name.
So he goes, hey, that's my friend. And I looked at him and I go, I don't care who it is. I don't care if he's your friend, your brother, or what. He can pass the puck and, you know, play hockey. Not just, you know, go end-to-end and me try and chase him around. Because I'm just not doing that for an hour. So the kid, you know, does the normal, like, 20-year-old back and forth. Like, oh, yeah, well, I'll beat your ass. You know, that old thing. It's like, all right, buddy, whatever. So I took him up on his offer. So I said, all right, if this kid really wants to beat my ass, I'm going to go to the front of the net where, like, if you want an ass kicking, you're going to go to the front of the net, right? Like, that's the old adage in hockey. So I'm standing in front of the net, plant my feet in front of the net, and Hal Gill's nowhere to be found. He's, like, at the red line, and we take, like, the long shot on net because there's no offsides in roller hockey. Long shot on net, I get a tip, and, like, the goalie kind of, like, juggles it, and I go to, like, bat out of the air, and I get his glove, and I'm like, oh, my bad, buddy. Like, I wasn't trying to whack your glove. And I see Hal coming back down again, and he's, like, getting himself back into play. And I go, I thought you were going to kick my ass. And he goes, well, what do you mean? And I go, well, I stood in front of your net for about 30 to 45 seconds, screened your goalie, got a tip, took a whack at your goalie's glove, and you're nowhere to be found. He goes, oh, next time. I go, all right, whatever. So on the ensuing face-off, we win a draw. It's like a tie-up draw. My winger comes in, gets a shot. There's like a scramble in front. I pull the puck out of the scramble, and I tuck it in right in front of Hal, too. Couldn't have went better. And I go, oh, and by the way, I'm also going to score a goal while you don't kick my ass, too. So it's already 1-0. It's already 1-0, Jeff, right? So he goes to me after I score and I dap my boys up and everything. He goes, oh, I'm gonna get you next shift. Okay, whatever. That's what he said last time. So next shift, I'm skating down the wall, and like right he timed it perfectly where like he had me like right after the benches to where the glass starts up again, and he has me lined up. And I don't think this kid knew I played ice hockey or anything, but, like, I picked my head up literally probably a good 5 seconds before he's about to hit me, so I'm prepped for what's about to happen. I'm thinking in my head, okay, I'm getting hit here. Like, no ifs, ands, or buts. Like, he's making a beeline to me. He's gonna hit me. Puts me in the glass. Again, it's not like I've never taken a hit before. And the referees give him a 5-minute major and says, if you're in the box again, you're done. For an attempt injury.
Oh,
and
man.
I go, oh, man, you put me on the power play now. So I'm in the OV spot on the power play. First shot on net, it stopped. Again, mad scramble. Gets kicked out a little bit. Pick it up, I score. So, like, now I'm like, well, now I got to get in this kid's head even more. Because at this point, I'm not even paying rent to be in his head.
And this isn't even just a one-and-done power play. This is 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's 5 minutes.
How many times can I score?
Please?
Yeah, so... Literally 20 seconds in, and Zach, I think you know where I'm going with this.
Yep, I want to hear that.
I do the Kovalchuk Crosby point, and I just look at him right in the box, and I just look at this kid, and he's like, "Oh, I'll get you." I go. By the way, that's two that I have on you. So like, game goes on, and I think his boys are realizing like, hey, you know, maybe we should let this, you know, this bear kind of sleep a little bit. We've kind of woken him up a little bit. So he gets away, and then we end up seeing each other, I think, in the third period against each other. And it's like same story again. He ticked me off, and I strip him of the puck at the blue line. I go in, score again, skate past him. I go, that's three. And he's like, dude, I hate you. I go, I'm a nice guy. Like, I'm still a nice guy. You just, like, you said you were going to kick my ass, and you never did. Like, you never came anywhere near me. So I'm at three, and then we get, like, another, like, crazy bounce, and, you know, I do, like, a Crosby, like, jam in goal. Like, it's not pretty, just kind of whacking, and it ends up getting in. skate by his bench, look him in the eye, and about three of his buddies on the bench, and I go, "That's four. Are we done yet?" And he goes, "Oh, dude, no, we're still in it. We're still." I'm like, "Just shut up." I mean, we ended up end of the story though. Unfortunately, we did lose 6-5.
Oh my!
Because you were everything in that game.
We were up 5-4, and they had 12 guys. This sounds like huge excuse making, but they had 12 guys. I think we had six. So like we were incredibly like shorthanded, but like I shook hands with the team after the game and I was like, "Hey, that was fun. Like I haven't had that much fun playing hockey in forever," but just like the chirping back and forth, and like sometimes you just need to like be involved like that to like stay in the game, especially when it's like at 8 o'clock on a Sunday. Like,
oh, brutal.
I enjoyed myself playing that game. Yeah, we lost, but you know, to talk trash, and like the kid even came up to me and goes, "Dude, you were in my head literally since the second shift." And I was like, "Buddy, you just got to be better mentally. Like that's all it comes down to is just don't let me dictate how you play." Because he was so ineffective that whole game. I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah, I was going to ask when the first month's rent's due. I mean, obviously he signed the lease when he played. So,
well, no, I bought it. Like I straight up bought it straight cash, no checks, like Randy Moss style. No rent, nothing. I was in his head without paying anything. I don't even think I had to pay property taxes in there.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's just illegal right there.
Yeah.
Well, when you just go in and break in, you know, law doesn't matter.
Incredible amount of grit there.
But anyways, how was the rest of your guys' weekend?
Zach?
I want to go last because my weekend was probably the most uneventful, because I'm sure we'll get Dave's softball recap now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to keep it kind of quick here because I see we're already like 12 minutes into the show. So we ended up playing a team that it was going to be a tough one. But when we got there, most of their top-tier players were in a different town in another league in playoffs. So it's not that we were playing scrubs, but we were playing a depleted team. Almost like you guys, Jeff, how you guys ended up losing the game. You're depleted. You don't have numbers there, but you still have a decent game, but you come up short. We were able to win both games. The first one we run ruled 24-12. The second one, I think we won 26-15. So the bats were buzzing. We were doing well there. But we did have a scary incident to where our third baseman had to be sent to the hospital. He was on the field and he took a ground ball, and I think he was like, it was a weird hop, and I don't think he was trying to basically alligator it, which is basically put the hand over top of the ball in the glove. I just think he was trying to avoid it. And when the ball skipped up, it hit his finger, like the middle finger, and on the cuticle, which I think is like the pink part of the nail, it cut basically the entire cuticle and pushed it back open. So he held his finger in his t-shirt jersey and just said, "I'm going to the hospital." And then I saw the picture afterward. I'm like, "Yeah, I can see why you went there." So I had to move to third. And the guy that I replaced that shortstop all year, because he had surgery on his wrist and he's slowly recovering, but he came back in, and there was one play at third where I avoided the ball was like going towards my right side. I ducked out of the left and tried to like backhand spear it. So it basically looked like I was running away from the ball because I did not want to be another statistic. Other than that, I played all right.
So I do have some questions for you. Since you moved to third base, what kind of third baseman do you model yourself after? I was thinking like a Pablo Sandoval type guy.
Yeah, he would be one of the more relevant in accordance to how I look. I would say I'm Scott Rowland on a very bad day. How about that, fielding wise?
Scott Rowland on a bad day.
Yeah,
that's great. I like that answer a lot.
I'll tell you what. One of the most satisfying things as a fielder in the infield is catching a line drive like hit right to you. And this was off glove hand side, so I had to like take one step to the left, but it was just perfect right there. And I just turned to my shortstop, I flip it over to him and just put up how many outs there are in the inning. It's one of the best feelings I get while being an infielder. It's just getting the automatic out that's just a frozen rope.
Do you guys do the throw around? Like on a liner?
Yeah.
Like say there's no, but you guys throw it around and everything?
Yep. I like it.
That's awesome. Oh, yeah. Because that's got to be a sweet feeling. Like you just catch that liner and you do like the Andrew Jones just like toss to like second to start the throw around.
Yep, exactly.
That's awesome.
So we are... we're basically in position to lock up a top four seed for the playoffs. If we win the two next week, which I actually won't be there, I'll actually be out of the area. So first game I miss all year. So we won't even have that to discuss.
Oh, are you going to pull a Cespedes and just not show up?
I might pull a Cespedes next week because it's my birthday next Monday. So
maybe that's why he didn't show up to the Mets.
Maybe, maybe it was just his birthday.
Or he just realized that he plays for the Mets.
Just like Marcus Stroman.
Both are valid reasons.
Very valid reasons.
All right, Zach, what do you got?
See, honestly, my weekend compared to your guys was nothing. Friday, I took a half day without telling anyone I was going to have a half day because of the Pens drop in the pocket four. I wanted to go pick up some beers, and I ended up getting pretty gassed up by 4 o'clock. Obviously, watched that, which, I mean, I don't want to break it down because that's going to segue into the next thing, but... yeah, just pretty much consumed a lot of alcohol on Friday. I think I was drinking some, like, nice lemon, like, fruity beers to start off just to kind of, like, you know, make sure I was alive for the game. And then as the game got progressively worse, so did myself. And, you know, that definitely factored into how sloppy I got that night. And then Saturday, I woke up, decent hangover, and went to get ribs for my mom's birthday. Then Sunday was just pretty much I got a haircut and didn't do anything. So, like I said, I'm glad it was just nice to have a chill weekend.
Yeah, those are sometimes the best.
Who was more sloppy, the overall game on both sides between the Canadians and Pens, or you?
So I think you need to break this down by time periods because at one point in time, I was way less sloppy than the Penguins. Like, I was normal. And then, you know... they lost. And then, you know, I was like, oh, this 8% or this 6% lemon beer will now turn into like an 8 or 9% stout. And then I was like, oh, that was really good. So I'll have another one. Mind you, I haven't eaten yet. So that escalated really quickly. And then we ended up having grilled cheeses, a bunch of grilled cheeses and tomato soup. I'm not sure if you guys saw that, but
yeah, I did see that. I did remember that.
Dude, I swear we made like, so there's about 4 or 5 of us. And I think we had close to 15 to 17 grilled cheeses total.
Jeez.
Dear Lord.
It was a good time. I mean,
just straight up grilled cheese, or did you put anything in there like bacon or the pickle?
So it was straight up grilled cheese, but like we mixed up the variety of the cheeses. So we had provolone, American, and pepper jack to choose from, kind of like a make your own grilled cheese kind of thing. And then just a few cans of tomato soup that we pretty much put on a big burner and just, you know, called it a day.
There you go. Put that on low and just keep it warm.
Exactly. Yep. So, yeah, that was, like I said, very low-key weekend for me. Like, nothing really popping off. So it was actually nice for a change because usually I feel like I do something dumb, but it was nice.
All right. So now that we were able to successfully not talk about any sports for 19 minutes, it shows you how shitty it was for at least us being as fans of – let's just say the Penguins, because, you know, the Pirates don't have a shot in hell. But so why don't we just jump into it? Because I think that's something that we're really going to focus on. Then we're going to have some fun with a Stanley Cup playoff predictor now that the actual brackets are set. And then we'll actually throw out a bonus guess of who will win the lottery today. So let's go into it. The Habs dominate the Penguins, and I think that is the right word to say, win the series in 4 games, shut out the Penguins in the 4th game 2-0, one of them being an empty net goal, which was one of the most unlikely empty net goals you'll see, just the way Shea Weber tried to clear it. But guys, I don't know if there's a place to begin here, But I'll ask this question first before we break it down. In our lifetime, do you think that was the most god-awful series to watch? I mean, this wasn't really the playoffs, but it kind of was. So I don't really want to use playoff series loss. But
I think you should.
Regardless, do you think this is one of the most awful series loss in our lifetime?
It's up there.
Yeah, I definitely think it's up there. As for the worst, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to be rational and factor in that the fact that they haven't played in 4 months, and I don't. But the thing that scares me is I don't know if that would have made a difference. That's the scary part.
The only reason I can't agree with you is because everyone had the same amount of time off.
But the thing about what you're saying there, Dave, you're right. But that 4 months is a lot different than where we were at 4 months ago. So, like, case in point, we talked about how 4 months ago we didn't have Jake Guentzel. Now we have Jake Guentzel. Okay, 4 months ago the Montreal Canadiens aren't even in the playoffs or even thinking about a playoff picture. They're thinking
Shea
about
Shea Weber was actually dead.
Like. Yeah, yeah, he was retired. Remember?
Yeah, like,
Shea Weber was not.
His career was in jeopardy.
Hockey. Yeah, I mean they were on Alexis Lafreniere track and. You know, the Blackhawks were the same thing. Like, all these teams that have pulled off these upsets, yeah, they've won and they were able to get healthy again. But the thing about the Penguins, though, that, like, I can't give them the 4 months is that they look the exact same that they did 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the attitude and the willing to go out there and do whatever it took to win. The thing I thought of after Game 3 when Petrie scored that horseshit goal, and I apologize for the swearing, but that how many times have we seen that goal get scored on Matt Murray since 2016? I think I lost count at like 8 or 9. But my point being is that as soon as that goal went in, they weren't coming back. It looked just like 2014 all over again when they quit on Dan Bosma when they were up 3-1 on St. Louis. On the Rangers. So, is it the worst? It's up there. I don't know if it's the exact, the top one, because we've seen a lot of really bad series. I would say the Flyers one in our lifetime is probably the worst one for me.
The one thing go ahead.
I was going to say, with the Flyers series, there was competitiveness there. You didn't really see that, especially after the Petrie goal, with the Penguins after losing Game 3 or getting into the hole in Game 3 with a 3-1 lead earlier in the second period as well. It seemed like they were buzzing, and then all of a sudden when the Canadiens were able to answer back with two of their own, it was just gone. There's just nothing left there. At least in the Flyers series, yeah, I mean, awful losses in the first two sets when you have 3-1 leads, and I think both of them were overtime losses. Then you get embarrassed and give up 8, I think, in the Game 3, able to win the next two. There was competitiveness there, but not a series that they should have lost, and not the way that they did, and not the way that they did lose it as well.
I think following the awful Game 3 collapse, you know, obviously with that 3-1 lead, I think that kind of sealed it for me, thinking that this team would not win that series, even if they would have battled back and beat Montreal on Friday. You know, then they play the very next night in a decisive Game 5, and their next opponent was either going to be the Flyers or the Bruins. And it was like, I don't know, like, just the way they just got outclassed, definitely outcoached. It kind of was like a microcosm for things that had happened all year and even dating back to before this year even started. But it kind of made the little problems that you thought, oh, okay, that's not really that big of an issue if they can get that corrected. They all came out within this series, and you know, I think I think it was almost better that they got eliminated now, because I think it will lead to some more changes this offseason. But I definitely think it was a brutal loss.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt it was an absolute brutal loss. I think now is kind of the time for us to try to chime in on what changes should have been made and how it should have been implemented. And I think the obvious one would be somehow finding a way to get Jack Johnson off the ice. And I know this is not all his fault, but damn it, does it just seem like he is always out there in the worst situations and just doing some of the most god-awful defenseman work you can see out there. One stat that I looked at with Matt Murray saving shots while Jack Johnson was on and off the ice, and I think Murray had a 75 save percentage when Jack Johnson was on the ice in that series, and a 95 save percentage while facing probably 50 more shots when Jack Johnson wasn't on the ice. And I'm not saying that Matt Murray sucked because of Jack Johnson, because Matt Murray also didn't look good overall, but just how is this man still on the ice?
Jeff, you want to go? Because I have a thought on this.
I have a thought too, and I hope I'm not stealing yours. Somebody made a really good point. I forget who it was on Twitter. Because people keep coming up with these theories like, well, Jack Johnson and Sid are best buds, and, you know, Sid's trying to do him a favor because he lost all of his money from his parents and all this stuff. They came up with an alternate theory that, don't forget that Jim Rutherford drafted Jack Johnson third or fourth overall in the 05 draft. So Jim Rutherford is absolutely very high on Jack Johnson in terms of when he was drafted, and obviously made a point to get him back at some point in his career. I think the solution, however, I hope the solution is that the Penguins realize that this has been a mistake. I think he's got, 2 years left on his deal? Is that correct?
I can look it up, but that sounds right.
So, I mean, I know the franchise doesn't do this often. I'm trying to think of this as logically as possible. This might be one of the few times that the Penguins buy him out and say, like, okay, you're still going to get your money and everything, but we think we should part ways. I think that's the only way you're going to be able to get him off the roster.
So I agree with that 100%. I think going back to the point, I know he's Crosby's buddy, and that's the big thing that was made of this. I think it's 50% that, and Sid tried to help him out, and realistically they tried to just hide his analytics, even though Rutherford claims to know why he was benched in CBJ by Torts. But that said, I think they tried to hide him where he was defensively, and then naturally just the way that the Penguins worked and how awful Justin Schultz looked this entire year, really. It really exposed Jack Johnson worse than he had already been exposed even last year. That said,
he's got 3 years left on the contract.
Oh, yay. Then you almost have to buy him out. But that said, I think a lot of it's just stubbornness on Jim Rutherford's part, because so many people were against the signing and had even questioned him, about it. And apparently Rutherford's not the big analytics guy, and, you know, he defends it. And, so I think a lot of it's him not willing to admit that he made a mistake, which is exactly what benching Jack Johnson would kind of say. So
that's a good point. It's a very good point. There's something about this franchise too. And if you just look over the course of history, it seems like every time they've had a run, whether it was like the early cup teams in the early 90s, in 09, and then even this group here that we're talking about now, they get to like this point where they get like really stubborn and think that they can own, you know, everything that they do, they're not wrong on. And I don't know if that's, it just happens because of human nature or what the reason is, but the amount of stubbornness that just comes from this team in the last, I don't know, what would you say, the last, you know, 5-6 months has just been incredible right now. So, and I think a lot of it comes from the GM, and it has to start coming downwards, because I think heads are going to start falling if things don't get turned around come next season.
Now, do you think, and I've heard this tossed around a lot, so I figured I'd pose it to the group. Do you think that the Penguins quit on coaches, or that coaches have an expiration date in Pittsburgh because of who they have to manage?
There's a history of it.
There's a history.
Not to cut you off, but I mean, take this for what it is. But Friday before game four, I called my grandfather, who has watched this team since day one And when I say day one, I mean day one. He's been there since 67. And I asked him the same thing. I go, I think they quit on him. And he goes, well, it wouldn't be the first time this franchise has had that happen, because they did it to Bowman in the 90s. They did it with Bylsma, and now they're about to do it with Sullivan. So I don't want to say that, because I really like Mike Sullivan as a coach. I really do. I like how he likes to have his teams play. But unfortunately, when you're a guy like Mike Sullivan that is as brash and straightforward as he is, and as much like John Tortorella as he is, you got an expiration date, I think. And I think we're getting very close to that expiration date.
Yeah, and you kind of get a feeling that it's almost like the players almost get tone deaf to the coach after having the success and not being able to, and they were able to sustain it for another year after that. So I don't know how much more a coach just needs to change his philosophy and the players still need to retain it, or if the players just get tired of hearing the same old message and then look for change that way.
I think one of the biggest things that I think the Penguins should get out of this is, yeah, they have a core, and that core still may be good enough to win another cup or two, but the core won't exactly be the reason they win the cup, whereas they need to get better supporting casts for the core, whether that's not trading away your first-round picks anymore. And I'm not faulting any players that are here because of that, because I love the Jason Zucker trade, believe me. And I think that'll go a long way, you know, moving forward with the Penguins. But the ability to draft and develop talent should be imperative moving forward, so that Crosby, Malkin, and Letang don't necessarily carry this team like they have in previous runs, because I do think those days are over. But you need to surround them with players, and honestly, younger players, to optimize this window as much as they can.
Well, don't forget too, they still have guys like Pierre Oliver Joseph, who made the camp bubble roster or whatever the hell that was. Sammy Poulin, their first round pick from, I don't think this year, was it the year before? I could be wrong on that. He was also on that camp roster too. I think the system maybe doesn't get the same love as anybody else, but I mean, I'm not saying that they have one of the top prospect pools in hockey, but I mean, there's still some pieces there that you have Crosby, Malkin, and Letang that if you put them around those guys, that they can start building their NHL career. I don't know what you guys think, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, there's Nathan Legarry is another one too that was drafted behind Sam Poul, and I think the Penguins actually traded up to get him. He's supposed to be a really good young scoring winger, and I also believe that Philip Hallander's in there too, and he's apparently like Hornquist 2.0 or something like that. But I definitely think that while they don't have like a top prospect pool, they definitely have serviceable guys. But that said, I worry that one, now retain these guys, don't give them up anymore. And I know that's way easier said than done if a right move comes around. And I mean, hopefully they get another prospect or something whenever they inevitably trade Matt Murray's rights when they can't sign him. And then I also think that, I don't know, like, it was kind of cool to see Patrick Marleau in a Pens jersey, but that's he wasn't playing hockey games. Because, you know, the nostalgia of watching Patrick Marleau throughout, you know, my childhood, essentially, I kind of grew up with him. You know, it was kind of cool to see him, like, on this team. He was, honestly, to be quite frank, pretty freaking useless. But that said, you know, instead of going out and getting those veteran guys, I would love to see the Penguins, and this might be a Mike Sullivan thing, is actually stick with lines, stick with players. I think he is way too quick to just kind of have his own narrative about something, as opposed to either, like, I don't know. I just feel like he deviates from what he should be doing quite often. And the fixes he makes are more so because him and the coaching staff believe it works. But I don't know. I feel like they just take too many shots at trying to fix something that is above them almost.
So is there anything to take away from this series going into hopefully next year, whenever that is, like December or January, and we'll see if they're even playing in stadiums or if they're back in a bubble again. Is there anything that the Penguins get from this series and are able to implement it into next year?
Oh, I mean, in about 20 minutes, we're going to figure out if they get to send Alexis Lafreniere onto the roster. So, I mean, that would be a big help.
I mean, I'm not going to solely blame coaching for this loss because obviously the players need to play. But I can't see Mark Recchi coming back and coaching the power play, can you? Because I...
No, I think...
I think... yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, Zach. I didn't mean to
cut off. I was just going to say it because I think that that is something that, for as talented as the Penguins are, and this is even without the young guys playing, there is no reason that power play should be as brutal to watch as it is. 92 seconds of a 5-on-3 that still stands in my mind, and they couldn't convert on that against the Montreal Canadiens.
I think it happened twice in the series with over a minute 5-on-3.
Yeah, they had multiple 5-on-3s or something like that. I agree with you on that. You know what? I also think as far as Mark Recchi, I don't think he'll be taken out of the organization just because he's one of Mario's guys. He's a Mario guy. So I wouldn't be shocked if he went back into like player development where he was before he came down on the bench. My only question is if that is the case, that Mark Recchi is no longer on the bench, who's taking over that job? Is it a Mike Sullivan guy? Is it another alumnus that's going to come in and do that? That's a quote unquote Mario guy. You know, who's the guy that's going to replace Mark Recchi? That's my only question. It's not a burning question, but I think with Mark Recchi leaving, I think that makes Mike Sullivan's seat very, very hot going into next year.
Oh, I would think a bad start and it's see you later.
I wouldn't really say a bad start. I think they're still
I don't know.
I still think they're going to try to stay committed to him. I think the earliest that they would do a firing of Mike Sullivan would be halfway through the year.
You think they'd wait that long?
I know at this point the clock is ticking on this era that the Penguins have with the players that they have on the ice, but I still think just based off what Sullivan was able to do coming in and getting the back-to-back cups, they're still going to give him a little leeway for half a season.
See, I feel like in the NHL coaching carousel, they're so quick to yank someone, and I honestly think that, like I said, the Penguins have kind of been underperforming the last couple of years. I mean, I thought a sweep at the hands of the New York Islanders was maybe not cause for, you know, Sullivan to get fired, but at least start the year with a somewhat, you know, hot seat. And, you know, the Penguins didn't exactly wow me in the regular season. They had flashes of brilliance and flashes of what the hell was that. And then to go out like this, I definitely almost think the seat has to be hot now if it wasn't, you know, entering this year. Because I think he did just enough to, you know, be there.
So... do we have anything to add on to this that's relevant?
The one thing I will say about Mike Sullivan and his job security is that, and keep an eye on this as the offseason goes, when the Penguins fired Mike Johnston and replaced him with Mike Sullivan was hired that summer because he was the safety net in case things went very bad for Mike Johnston. I'm curious to see what they decide to do this summer as far as, like, you know, even if it's a guy that comes in and is, like, the player development guy or something just to have in the organization, and then he gets moved up to, you know, in case they have to hit the red panic button. So I think that's going to be the key is if they bring in, like, not a well-known name, but a significant name into the organization and things go Peter bad, Lamulet. I think that wouldn't be bad. Another American guy too. I think that would be where I would start raising my eyebrows on his job security.
You know, it's funny how I'm pretty sure Jeff and I made the comments in the regular season before the pandemic hit that Mike Sullivan might be in consideration for a Jack Adams Award, and now we're talking about him possibly being fired next year at some point.
I mean, and that exactly goes to what I said. There was flashes of brilliance in how he managed the team when there was 1,000 injuries, and then they get swept by the friggin' Montreal Canadiens. Like, I just don't – that level of consistency is what troubles me. And, you know, and I think that's the biggest red flag of this team, and I don't really think you have much time to, you know, kind of let them, like, play through this slump, because this slump is now kind of 2 years. Like, it's
so much known on three, because I mean, the Capital series wasn't exactly a shining moment either.
Yeah, true. It just makes me think that, and I think it also is based on the coaches that are out there, because, you know, the NHL isn't one where they find new blood. It's all about recycled coaches and everything like that. And I bet Laviolette and Boudreaux are back in the game, just to name a few, very soon. But like, going to my point of it all depends on who's out there, and with those two names out there, it just kind of makes me.
I wouldn't hate Bruce Boudreaux as a Penguin coach.
There was some talk about that, just because of the way he's managed so many different styles of teams. So it's like, you know, he may have the experience to just kind of flip any roster. And, you know, naturally with coaching guys like Crosby, it's, you know.
I would just be curious on, like, just because I just never know how what they're looking at with head coaches when they're looking at – at guys for the Penguins. I feel like when you look at players, you have an idea of what the Penguins are looking for in a player. Usually a fast player, a skilled player. And then usually there's one or two guys that have grit a little bit. But mostly it's like a skill guy they're looking for. Just head coaches, I just never know. I never know what they're looking for in terms of a head coach.
Can I bring up one thing real quick? And I don't want to take forever on this. I think it kind of bothers me how and I brought this up in our group text the other day after the elimination, how many like ex-Penguin players joined that coaching staff. And I'm not saying all of them are bad hires, but it kind of seems to me like a boys club. And I think that not having a lot of outside influence, I mean, yet, like I said, every now and then you do get someone. But like, you look at Gonchar, you look at Roberts, you look at Recchi. I think Kevin Stevens is in the organization. Matt Collins also in player development. Bill Guerin, who I loved, obviously he's now in Minnesota. But just like the overall of just turning to ex-Penguins once they either decide to retire or pursue a hockey coaching career or you know, scouting career, it's just kind of crazy to me. And I feel like they don't really – the reason they're so tentative on making some of these changes – is because it's just kind of like the boys club, and that's how they did it when they played there, or just the allegiances that they have.
The one thing I'll say to that, and I know I'm going to get buried for this, because I'm going to go after the big guy on this one. And we all know who the big guy is, right, Dave?
Dave's thinking.
No. I'm thinking.
When you think of the Penguins, who's the big guy? Who's the guy that his opinion's the only one that matters when it comes to the Penguins?
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Mario, right?
Yep.
Yes. Okay. He has a history of having Mario's country club, like the mid-90s, like those 96 teams, those 95, 96, 97s. Those were at times called Mario's Country Club, where he had his buds in, they were playing hockey, where they, the greatest players, maybe, maybe not, but maybe it's turning into that again. I don't know. I don't want to say that because I don't want to think Mario would do something like that to jeopardize the franchise, but I don't know. I hope it's not. I mean, it seems to be the trend, not just with the Penguins, though, that there's a lot of alumni that are around teams, organizations now. I mean, geez, look at the Oilers, for God's sakes. Some say that set their franchise back years because of all the alumni in their organization. The Flyers are the same way. So I don't know. I hope that's not the case, but that's just a little thought that I had with what you were saying with all the alumni in the organization.
Respect it.
All right. I don't know about you guys, but I'm ready to try to have some fun on this show and predict a Stanley Cup bracket.
I like being gloom and doom and saying everything's over, but I guess we can transition to fun.
Real quick, too, the draft lottery is currently on as we're recording this, so there might be a really, really happy moment, or there may be a really, really sad moment here.
I don't have a table up here, so feel free to break it down as picks are announced.
Okay, so the guy with the big ears is talking right now, the commissioner, Gary Bettman. So it looks like it's just like a press conference kind of gimmick he's doing with Jamie Hirsch right now. So
let's actually do the prediction of who's going to win the lottery then, because we can still get those in right now.
All right.
One of these teams, team holder, placeholder team E, is going to be the number one pick, while the rest of the teams are going to be placed 9 through 15 based off inverse order of points percentage. So if the Penguins don't get the number one pick, they will be number 15 then. So that's all I know. I think the Wild are the bottom, and this, I'm just trying to go based off memory. The Wild are the bottom. Then I think it was the Panthers after that, and I can't remember after that. Like,
falling into the hands of the Edmonton Oilers, where they get a number one pick again, another generational talent that obviously like they'll blow somehow. That's honestly, if he doesn't go to Pittsburgh, he's going to go to Edmonton, and they're just going to ruin another one, number one pick,
or Toronto.
Toronto's another one.
Toronto. Sure. I think that the team, if it's not Pittsburgh, the team I want him to go to is Minnesota.
Minnesota probably needs it the most out of all those teams. So.
Mostly because it looks like they got the ping pong ball gimmick thing ready to go here soon. So,
I will also say that if the Pens don't get it, and it's not that I want them to have it, but I think one of the most beneficial teams it would work for would be the Rangers. Just for the market that they're in.
They got the second overall pick last year.
Hey, yeah, and then you get the number one pick. What'd the Penguins do for four straight years?
Yeah, again, but F them. But they didn't get the first overall pick. The Penguins actually traded up to get Fleury to get them at number one. They missed out on Ovechkin, and then we got lucky with Sid. So just settle yourself.
Hey, it wasn't exactly
a paved road for the Penguins.
Regardless, I still think it would be beneficial for a team like the Rangers to get back to at least being competitive and a talk to be a Stanley Cup contender.
You say that, I'll smoke the Penguins in the playoffs next round, and I'll wish ill will upon you. So help me God.
You'll do it anyway, regardless.
That's true.
So if I'm just going to do a random team to pick from, I would say either Minnesota or... I kind of want to say Winnipeg. I'll say Minnesota or Pittsburgh. Either one of those two, I think, will win it.
Yeah, I hope it's Minnesota. If it's not Pittsburgh, obviously I want it Pittsburgh. But Minnesota, I think that would do wonders to growing hockey in the quote-unquote state of hockey, even though a franchise
would be better than once. Can you imagine social media if the Penguins get a number one?
Oh, I just sent you guys a picture, a still shot of Sid dapping up Lafreniere at his number retirement at Rimouski. Fixes in. I mean, we're the Patriots of the NHL, so I mean, why not?
Yeah, we're due for our third savior.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been a while since we've won anything here.
Oh no! What did that guy do? Uh-oh. So they're like loading the ping pong balls in. They're showing the logos, and he like fumbled the Rangers one like in the
into Rangers like got the it. It's over
the load yeah. dock thing. Uh-oh. So, yeah, that's a developing story. Who's he loading in now? Is this
it's a frozen envelope all over again?
The Pittsburgh one just looks flawless. It's pretty. Look at that, the black and gold. Oh, come on, buddy, you got to get up there. Oh, but I don't think I've been this excited for this since the Sid one.
Very curious. Zach, do you have your predictions in for the lottery?
I mean, just what I said, who I think it's either going to be Pittsburgh, and I'm rooting for Edmonton.
Just to see them blow it?
Yes, exactly. No, I honestly do think that would be... it would be kind of cool to see them play together. And honestly, with him not being in the East, it would make me a little bit happier that I never really have to see him unless we're going to, you know, be doing different styles of pandemic hockey every year.
Quick note, could you imagine if Dan Bylsma coached the Edmonton Oilers? He'd have, like, Connor McDavid on the first line and then Alexis Lafreniere on like the right side on the third line.
All right, Jeff. So how are they doing this? Are they just going to pick the number one pick right away?
Yeah. So they've loaded all of them in like the little air popper gimmick thing. The guy's got the remote here. They are getting ready to drop them in. They're dropped into the air popper and they're bumbling around now. They're bumbling and going around like pieces of popcorn. They're,
I feel like we need like a drum roll here in the background.
Yeah, there you go. They're bumbling around. One's really getting up there. Hopefully that's not Pittsburgh because it's all over the place. Pittsburgh's normally flatter than that. Let's see here. Oh, geez. One went up there. It looked like it was Florida for a second. Then it went back down. And
if it goes to Florida, I'm done.
I don't know. Florida would be like a consensus one. They kind of need a superstar soon.
Yeah, they're still, as long as Bobrovsky's in goal, that team doesn't have a chance.
Well, according to Dave, he's still in Columbus. So
that's true. Yeah, that's true. You know what? They have a good chance now.
Okay, it's up. It's up. It's the Rangers. It's the New York Rangers.
See? There it was, Jeff. You said they fumbled the ball in there.
Yep. It's fixed.
It's fixed.
I thought the fix was in for the Penguinos.
Well, that was before the guy fumbled it in there.
Honestly, that's everything.
Gary Bettman's looking around like, yep, I think that looked legit. That looked legit all right. He just fumbled it in there and... Oh, jeez.
So the Penguins pick 15, but now they probably won't pick 15 after trading their first-round pick for next year. Something about it not being protected this year in case it was the number one pick. I don't know. Do the Penguins get a number 15 pick now?
I know it was lottery.
They can
protected. Choose
to send it to Minnesota, or they can this year to complete the Zucker deal, or they can do it next year. They need to send one of the 2 years because they had Pierre Maguire on the afternoon show today, and he was saying if he's Pittsburgh that he would hold on to the pick because this draft's apparently really deep.
Okay, that's good to know. So the Penguins are picking 15, so this weekend just got even worse.
And if there's a guy I trust on draft analysis, it's Pierre Maguire because he probably watched every guy in the first round play since they were 10 years old.
That's literally what he was saying. He was like, my son's eligible for this draft class, so I know everyone. And I'm just like, oh, my God.
Just ultimate Pierre.
Yeah, he was peak Pierre-ing today, but I mean, it was good to get that kind of insight because I kind of wondered how that would deal because, you know, like, yeah, these counted as playoff stats, but would that count as the Penguins making the playoffs or did they have to send it to Minnesota? So it was good to get that kind of cleared up.
Real quick, since you brought that up, are you considering the Penguins making the playoffs? Playing that series?
I say yes, so I can brag to everyone that they've, like, any out-of-town people that try to fight online about how they make the playoffs every year, but, like, mentally I'm saying no. Like, that didn't feel like playoffs to me. They didn't play playoff hockey, but, you know, if some scumbag from New York wants to argue, you know, about the Penguins and, you know, them not making the playoffs, I'd be like, bud, they made the playoffs. So
I'm basically in the same boat as Zach. Because it wasn't even the playoffs to begin with how everything was constructed. It was just like a pre-qualifier to see who can get into the playoffs by inviting some of the teams below the cutoff point.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, to show how I'm not biased on this, it's kind of like how I look at the wild card game in baseball. Like, I consider that making the playoffs because not everybody plays that same day, right? Like, you earn the right to play that day, so you made the playoffs as part of the playoff system. If you lose, you move on. Or if you win, you move on. If you lose, you don't. Therefore, you're in the playoffs. So that's how I look at it, and it's mostly the same reasons as you guys said, because, you know, I like to brag about my team, so.
Exactly. So, I can see both sides, why they have good points and why you can disagree with it, so.
I mean, honestly, whatever fits my narrative is what I'm going with, so, I mean,
that's how you live your life.
So, a little bit more on what I just said, the Penguins will now have until next Monday to decide if they want to keep their pick, so. For those asking.
Interesting. That right. 15th pick too, maybe. So can they hang on to that pick and make a deal with it then? In theory?
I mean, if they straight up say that they're going to keep that pick, then yeah, that pick becomes in play for them. I mean, if they send it to Minnesota, then Minnesota.
If it's more valuable too, like, why not?
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, this draft's deeper per Pierre Maguire. And honestly, Pierre Maguire knows what kind of bubble gum that like Les Binkley chewed in like 1902. So like, I would definitely not want to argue draft depth with him.
Was it Double Bubba?
It was actually Big League Chew.
You know what I haven't had in a while? Big League Chew.
Yeah, I haven't had that in a long time. Saw it down in South Carolina. There's more flavors of that than what you think.
Really? I know green apple. No, I think.
Yeah, green apple. There's like grape. There's strawberry. There's all kinds. There's like an ice cream shop I went to at the beach that had all kinds of different flavors of it that I didn't know existed.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
By the way, real quick. So since the draft lottery was over, I thought I'd get a little happiness. You know, Braves are in Philadelphia. They're losing 3-0 in the bottom of the first. So, you know, this has just been a whole F Jeff week. So.
Well, it's actually pretty good for me right now because the Pirates can't play the Cardinals. So there's 3 days in a row that the Pirates can't lose.
Yep. Under 25.5 on the wins. That's all I'm looking for.
All right. So we are just rambling on here. So let's go into a Stanley Cup predictor. We don't even have to give reasons if we don't want to, but let's start in the first round. It's going to be a little different than years past because of what's going on with how they seeded everyone. After the first round, the next matchup in the second round on each side, the highest seed will play the lowest seed, and then the two seeds in between will play each other in the next round. Does that make sense?
I mean, sure.
Yeah, they just reseed after each round.
Yeah. Well, after the first to second round, because they don't have to do that anymore. Right. Well, not reseed, but it just, it's not just going to go straight in order like it has in the past couple years.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start over in the West, because why the hell not? We got the first 1-8 matchup, the Vegas Golden Knights versus the Chicago Blackhawks. As good as Chicago was looking against Edmonton, I think Vegas was looking really nice throughout those three round robin games. So I'm going to let the Knights move on.
I'm going Blackhawks.
Fair. You don't have to give a reason.
I know. I'm just saying.
I agree with Zach. I'm going Blackhawks here. I think the teams that we're playing in the best of five series, I think they have a slight advantage just because they've played meaningful games, and I don't care what you say, those guys knew that the round robin games did not matter. And I think the rest that Kane and Taves were able to get in the 4 months, and you saw how well they played coming back. I like Chicago a lot. The only thing I question is their defense. Are they going to be able to protect Corey Crawford as much as they can to allow those guys to be able to score?
All right, next matchup. Zach, you'll go first. Colorado Avalanche versus the Arizona Phil Kessels.
Go in the Arizona Wagons on this.
I got I sent this to you guys on my way home on during game four that if Montreal scored, that I was ordering a Nathan MacKinnon t-shirt because he and the Colorado Avalanche are the unofficial favorite team of this podcast. So go Avs, go. They're going to beat the Coyotes in 3 games.
These should be 4-game sets now.
Well, yeah, that's how good Colorado is going to be.
Wow,
be
that's amazing.
Yeah. I can't believe it.
I'm pissed.
I got Colorado as well. I just think this team is just too good to get ousted in the first round by the Arizona Phil Kessels, because Phil Kessel's going to have to score every single goal for them to win this series, and I don't think he's going to do that. I think he's going to score 75% of them. Next matchup, we got the Dallas Stars versus Calgary Flames. Jeff, who do you got?
I got Calgary. Johnny Gaudreau has turned it up a little bit. I think this whole core of the Flames has shown that they're here to prove themselves and that their run isn't over yet. So I got Flames. I'll take Flames in 6.
I got the Flames as well. I think they kind of proved me wrong, especially in that first round against the Jets. And I don't think Dallas is going to be able to keep up with your boy, Johnny Gaudreau. So I got Flames in 6 as well.
Hey, Dave, where did Johnny Gaudreau go to college?
BC.
Thank you.
Honestly, I was going to go Flames, but since you guys both, I'm going to switch it up and go Stars just because I don't
have a general consensus.
I'm going to say Tyler Seguin's going to go off, and, you know, that's that.
Said no one ever.
Says me, because you guys already had your picks.
You know, you can think for yourself, Zach.
I know. I'm a strong, independent woman. I am thinking for myself.
Next matchup, we got the reigning Stanley Cup champs, St. Louis Blues, taking on the Vancouver Canucks. And I'm really torn on this series, but I think I'm going to go with the Vancouver Canucks taking down the St. Louis Blues in the first round.
You're taking Canucks?
Yeah, I'll take Canucks in a hard-fought series in seven.
Zach?
Oh, I'm going to take Blues in six. I do think at least six games to decide it, though.
I'm taking Blues in five. I think the amount of punishment that we saw Elias Pettersson take in the series before against the Wild, I think it's going to be ratcheted up that much more. And I think it's just going to be too much for him now, but it's going to help him down the road later on in his career.
Do you guys have the interactive bracket up in front of you right now on NHL? Because based off our picks, I don't think our second round matchups are going to be the same, because I got Vegas and Calgary in one matchup and Colorado and Vancouver in the other matchup.
I do not have it up at the moment. I'm actually getting Starbucks delivered to me.
Who you guys had Chicago winning in the first round. So whoever the highest seed is, that's who Chicago would play. So, Jeff, you had Colorado.
Yeah, winning. So I'd have Colorado and Chicago and then St. Louis and Calgary.
And then, Zach, you know who you have?
Sorry, I was working on getting my Starbucks delivered. What was the question?
I think you have, like, almost all the low-seed teams winning except for the Blues. So your teams would be the Blues and Blackhawks in the second round, and then the Flames and you had the Stars winning, didn't you?
Correct. Yes.
Okay, so you would have the Stars and Blackhawks again, and then you would have Blues and Coyotes in the second round. So
sounds right.
Let's move into our second round matchups. I got Vegas and Calgary, and I see Vegas still moving on again because Marc-Andre Fleury is the best. That's
he's the best to ride on the bench.
Yeah, I was going to say he's not even playing right now.
No, that's fine. They didn't need him for those round robin games.
Oh, sounds like they're not going to need him for game one either.
Hang on one second.
We'll see. I'll do my second matchup as well. I got Colorado and Vancouver, and I think Colorado still moves on because the boys are buzzing down there in the Rocky Mountains.
Okay.
Edmonton.
Well, the Rocky Mountains do go to Edmonton, I believe.
Okay, that's fair. That's why.
So I got Colorado beating Chicago. I think midnight strikes on Cinderella there. And then what do I have here? Blues and Flames. I think that's going to be a hard-fought seven-game series that those teams are just going to beat the crap out of each other. But I'm going to go with the experience of the Blues, and they knock off Calgary in Calgary's season ends as well.
Sorry, I'm working on my coffee delivery.
Jesus, where are you? Where are you ordering it from? Columbia?
Well, Autumn just got home from work, and she was getting Starbucks, and she was coming through the door, and the dog's going crazy. So that's what I was doing. But that said, so what are my matchups here? And I can tell you real quick who wins them, because
Chicago plays
everything.
Dallas.
Chicago plays Dallas. I like Chicago.
Okay, and then you got Arizona and St. Louis.
Well, I like Phil Kessel.
I love it. Zach has an 8-7 matchup in the conference finals. I kind of want to see this. I'm all about it. Okay, my conference final got Vegas versus Colorado, and unfortunately for the Golden Knights, it ends there because the Avalanche are going all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, I got Colorado and St. Louis in the conference final. I think, again, another hard-fought series, but I think for how much and how rough St. Louis is going to try and play, I think they're going to kind of punch themselves out, and the Colorado Avalanche will be going to the Stanley Cup Final.
Paul Bissonnette's going to love me because I am taking Arizona over Chicago to go to the Stanley Cup Finals because it's a pandemic year.
Nothing makes sense this year.
Exactly.
Is Darcy Kemper getting the Vezina this year?
Kemper? I hardly know her. Yeah, he is, actually. It will not all be right. Matt Murray.
I don't know, man. I thought he was pretty solid this year. All right, let's move on to the East. We got the Philadelphia Flyers taking on the Zach's favorite team, the Montreal Canadiens. Zach, you're up first.
I hate to say this, but I really like the Flyers. I've actually tuned into a couple of their games, and they look really good. So I'm going to take the Flyers over the Habs. Almost, I would almost say sweep, if not five.
Montreal showed me that they can really dumb down a game. Claude Julien-style hockey. I think this goes seven, and I think Carey Price ends up being the difference. He outplays Carter Hart. And, yeah, Montreal on seven. I hate this whole series. I honestly hope they both are just done. They don't play hockey after the series.
As much as I hate Montreal, the hatred for Philly still lives on. I'll use all of Jeff's points to make it just seem like I'm not doing this just based off of anger, but I'm doing this pick based off of anger. Go Habs, go.
Yeah, I'd never root for the team that eliminates the Penguins unless they play the Flyers. So, yeah, unfortunately I have to do it here because I don't think I could live with myself if I rooted for the Flyers.
Next matchup, we got the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Columbus Blue Jackets. Jeff, we got a rematch of the first round.
I got Columbus again. There's something about John Tortorella when he's got good scrub guys that have a little bit of talent, but they just have that grit and hard work that he's always able to be successful with them. I think they pull the upset on Tampa for the second year in a row.
I will have to agree with you. I think just for as much grit that the Blue Jackets give you, I think it's just going to be too much again for the Lightning. I oversaw this matchup, overlooked the matchup last year, thought the Lightning had it all the way through the Stanley Cup Finals. I don't think the Lightning can get past the Blue Jackets again. I think it was just a bad draw for Tampa this year.
Who calls it an upset? I think I like CBJ just in that matchup in general, and I would take them again and will take them again. I think CBJ wins in either five or six.
Oh, come on. We already picked the Blue Jackets. I thought you were going to be different than us.
No, not here.
Victor Hedman also went out with an injury in the round.
That's true, too, yeah.
So, just something else to gnaw on.
All right. Moving on, we got the Washington Capitals against the New York Islanders. I pretty much like the Capitals in this series. I don't think the Islanders stand much of a chance. I think it'll be a five-game set.
I'm taking the Islanders, honestly. I think if one guy knows how to beat his former club, it's going to be Barry Trotz here. I think it'll go six or seven, but I like the Islanders. Plus, that's the
I'm going to agree with Zach here. I'm going to go with the Islanders just because Barry Trotz, I feel, knows how to go against teams that have big-time talent like the Capitals. Side note to add to that as well, I'm also putting on the line that Derek Brassard regains his big game brass nickname. He has a big series against the Caps.
He didn't lose it in Pittsburgh?
Oh, he lost it in Pittsburgh 100%. I got the jersey to prove it, too.
All right. Last matchup in the first round, the Boston Bruins taking on the Carolina Hurricanes, the conference finals from last year. Zach, who you got?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Bruins and Hurricanes.
I like the Bruins, but I think it goes seven because I really also like Carolina, but if you're going to make me pick one, I think it's the Bruins that advance.
I'm going with Carolina. Boston looked really bad in those qualifiers. Well, not the qualifiers. I'm sorry, the round-robin games. I like Carolina. I like how they play. They seem to just take the game and shove it right back in your face. So I'm going to go Carolina in six. I think Boston's going to
turn a couple games out of this, but I think it's Carolina.
All right, so I'm going to go with the Hurricanes as well. I just think they look like one of the quickest teams out there out of all the matchups, or maybe even part of a game that I've seen in all of the qualifying matchups. And I think this just continues on throughout the run for the Cup for the Hurricanes. So my matchups, I have the Washington Capitals taking on the Montreal Canadiens. And I'm going to go with Washington in that one. I think it's just is over for the Canadiens after that first round win against the Flyers. And it's just a bad matchup for, I think, Montreal overall, because Ovechkin's going to snipe the hell out of them. The other one I have, Carolina and Columbus. And I really love this matchup for a second round setup in the East. But I'm going to give it to Carolina. I think just what they had last year and building it off this year, and as just as good as Sebastian Aho has been playing, I think that carries on into the conference finals for them. Zach or Jeff, do you guys know your matchups?
I'm going through them right now.
Yeah, I'm going to have to figure this out because I have all upsets. I don't have one.
So here, I'll do mine because I think I have the Flyers playing the Caps. I think it's a lot of like what happened with the Penguins a couple of years back. I think
Hold on, Zach. You should have Flyers and Blue Jackets.
Flyers and Blue Jackets. Okay, cool.
Yeah, it would be Flyers and Blue Jackets, and then did you say Islanders?
I have the Islanders. So it would be Islanders versus
Boston.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hang on, sorry. I just got to my
computer. And then who would you pick between the Flyers and Blue Jackets?
Flyers and Blue Jackets, I still take the Flyers. I think it goes 6 or 7, but I mean, I think the Flyers win that. And then what was the other one here? Boston versus
New York Islanders.
Boston versus the Islanders. I go Boston.
Jeff, you know your matchup?
I'm trying to figure this out. Hang on. Because I have.
Right, you had the Montreal Canadiens winning.
Yeah, I have all upsets, so that's what's like throwing me.
Oh, so it's 5 versus 8 and 6 versus 7.
Okay, so hang on. Where's my list?
Canadiens versus Hurricanes, Blue Jackets versus Islanders.
I'm going to go Carolina. They play so much like Rod Brindamore. I think they'll be able to be a lot grittier than what the Canadiens are, and they just have a lot more skill. So I got Carolina, and I got Columbus. I think I have a soft spot for Columbus for whatever reason. I know they're trying to be a rival of the Penguins, but I got the Blue Jackets over the Islanders.
Then the other matchup? Oh, sorry. You already
went
up to the first one. Okay. Sorry. So, conference finals. I got the Capitals versus the Hurricanes. And this might be me picking more for what I want to happen rather than I think what will happen. But I do think the Carolina Hurricanes are set up for a Stanley Cup run. You get enough puck luck in there, I think Carolina can surprise a lot of people. I mean, they were in the conference finals last year but got swept. I still think they're out to prove what they can do. And I think they get that Stanley Cup run.
I am going to make a lot of people in Pittsburgh mad here when I pick.
Either way, you're making people mad.
I was going to say either way. Both teams are absolutely hated here. But if I have to pick between Boston and Philly, I'm going to take Philly to take on the Arizona Coyotes in the Stanley Cup.
I got the Jackets playing the Hurricanes. I'm going to go Columbus. I really like John Tortorella as a coach, and I think when he gets a group that he likes as a coach and that he knows he can work with, I think this is a group that is so much like John Tortorella. So I'm funny. I got Columbus in 6 to take on the Colorado Avalanche.
So I got Colorado versus Carolina, battle of the Sea Cities, and you got to give it to Colorado. I think just overall, they have everything built to be a Stanley Cup champion. They could probably use, I'm trying to remember who's in net. It's not Grubauer. I can't remember who's in net for them.
I think it's Grubauer.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they had some Dominic Francouz or something as their backup.
Francois. But
regardless, I think that's the only thing that they could improve upon is just getting a better goaltender, but I still think it's what they have gets them to the edge and finally hoists the Stanley Cup. Nathan MacKinnon finally gets to do that, so. Well, and yeah,
his long torturous journey. I think Patrick Marleau would say something about it.
Yeah, I was gonna say the guys in the league, like Patrick Marleau, that have been in the league since like the Vietnam War, haven't got a cup yet. Nathan MacKinnon's long journey of what, like 4 or 5 years.
Oh yeah, but and then also on the NHL.
Oh, that away, Newcomb.
Oh. You get to predict a total goal scored in the Stanley Cup final. So I'm going to go with kind of like a high scoring, let's say, six games. I'll go with 35 goals.
Six games, 35 goals. So that averages, let me do math. That's a little under seven goals per game, right?
Yeah, about six goals a game. Yeah,
this is from a comm major that just figured that out. So how are you?
All right. Stanley Cup champion, Zach?
We are partying down Broad Street because the Philadelphia Flyers will win the Stanley Cup this year.
Oh, damn, he missed his head. He got his hand.
Zach, I just hope you're wrong just so one Twitter account can stay alive.
I just love that Philly plays such a balanced game, and they literally have weapons on all sides of the puck, and I'm legitimately scared of them. So I almost feel if I don't pick them, that they'll haunt me for years to come. So,
yeah, F the Flyers, F everybody in that organization, F it all, F that whole idea. Stupid. They'll lose the Canadians. You watch. I got, who do I have? Columbus and Colorado. Yeah, Colorado's just gonna. I think they would just outskate Columbus in a seven-game series, the amount of skill that's out there. I think they would give them a series, maybe six, but I think Colorado wins. Nathan MacKinnon wins MVP, and his long journey of finally getting a Stanley Cup, like Ray Bourque, is finally achieved.
His long journey.
Finally.
By the way, in case you guys were wondering, my big reaction, Sean Newcomb just threw a curveball at Bryce Harper's head. He unfortunately got him in the hand, but it knocked him down, brushed him back a little bit. So,
are you rooting for players to get injured on this suspension podcast?
Well, when they play for a Philadelphia team and they didn't sign with my team in their free agent year, yes.
Okay, I was gonna say first class city over there, though. So I mean, you know,
hey. If I got severely sick, you think Bryce Harper would give a frig about me? No. So why should I care about his health?
All right, I'm sold. F him.
I'm just waiting for the 8-game suspension Newcomb will get now.
Yeah, hopefully so, because we're down 5-1. He's loaded the bases. So.
All right, let's just wrap it up with MVP of the week. We've been on this way too long. Who wants to go first?
Mine's a simple one, so I'm just going to say it. My MVP of the week that got me through a lot of this past series was beer. So, you know, I think it's been my MVP probably 4 out of the 11 weeks that I've been on here. But, I mean, it holds tried and true every time. So, I look forward to consuming more of them and watching more playoff hockey. And it's going to be more enjoyable now just because I don't have to get worked up or emotional after all these games, because in the end it doesn't really matter.
It's not depressing at all.
I just mean I don't have to have an emotional investment in it because the Penguins aren't there anymore. But yeah, if you want to put that like a life term, then
it was just like right at the end on how you ended that just sounded just so heartbreaking and just he doesn't give a shit anymore.
Hey, here's something that's absolutely hilarious. So there's a guy in Edmonton that I guess he writes for the Oilers or whatever, and he listed a bunch of names where that should be available around where the Oilers are picking at 14. Penguins also picking at 15. There's a kid named Connor Zary. Not kidding you. That'll be available around the mid first round. If the Penguins get this kid, I think the city might riot.
You sure it just wasn't Connor Sherry saying that it wasn't Sherry Shari and it's now
Zary
or whatever?
It's Zary, not Zary.
You know, because after being with an organization for 3 years, you just decide to say that people weren't spelling or pronouncing your name right. So you never know, honestly.
Yeah, you guys have been messing up my name all this time. What do you mean?
What do you mean? You nodded your head and agreed. Well, yeah, yeah, I know.
For 3 years.
I didn't think we went back-to-back cups and I would still be here.
I thought they would have got rid of me a long time ago. I wouldn't have said anything.
That's a Plankton meme. Like, I don't know. I didn't think I'd get this far. you know, I'm just gonna echo what Zach said. Beer has done a great job this past weekend and week with the Penguinos. So here's to Beer.
Not bad. I don't know. Can I do an LVP of it being sports? Because as much as I missed it, and I'm glad it's back on. I probably had the worst week of sports in the last week how bad the Penguins played. Mike Soroka ruptured his Achilles. We're losing 5-1 to the Phillies. It's just been a rough week with sports for me. So LVP is definitely sports.
All right, yeah.
Can I throw in an LVP real quick? Last name Sullivan.
God, that is a tank.
Are you talking about Zach throwing in Mike Sullivan in there?
No. Didi Gregorius just took a first pitch curveball and put it about in the 37th row.
Are you kidding me? Because I could have traded him for him in fantasy this past week, and I decided not to.
Nope, he's definitely rounding the bases to make it 9-1 in the second.
Everything's all right, LVP honestly, for end Zach. End this show.
Yes. All right, this has been the Ice Takes podcast. If you made it to this point, God bless you. We do this every week. You can like us on Facebook with Icy Takes with Zach, Jeff, and Big Day. Follow us on Twitter at Icy Takes, ICEY Takes, all together one word. Follow the personal Twitters at Big_Day52.
At ZachMorris82.
At JChrist_51. I hate sports.
Like our Lord and Savior, amen. We're kind of pissed, so we're just going to end the show. Bye.